Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hour 2 of Old School on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Every type of meat and every type of cut, special ingredient butcher shop, and more, with two Lincoln locations and one Omaha location. I'm Austin Norman, taking you through Old School today with DP and Jay out in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium for Big Ten Media Days. Nebraska takes the podium tomorrow. We'll have a whole lineup of special guests for you. Matt Rhule going to be on the air. All three Nebraska players making the trip going to be on the air. Rumor has it Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti will be on the air, and I hope Nick hijacks that conversation and just completely talks Big Ten baseball and Tony Petitti's plans for that with the old commish. Man, that'd be a fun conversation to have with them. It all starts right here again at 8. Early break will go at 6, 6 to 8 Central like normal, and then coverage from Lucas Oil Stadium will start at 8, same as today. My guess is it'll run through 4 o'clock Central. That's the schedule I would plan on here for the rest of Media Days, which will be tomorrow and then Thursday as well. So follow the crew out there. Follow 93.7 The Ticket on social media for all your updates, everything you need to know. And we'll keep you updated from back here as best we can as well. 402-464-5685 if you've got any thoughts, anything to add to the conversation, anything you want talked about regarding Big Ten football, Husker football, whatever it is. My eyes, my ears, my attention are yours. Whatever you want to talk about, we can hit. Travis, appreciate your kind words here on the text line. You also say, I just get tired of all offseason. We all talk it's going to be better, but results are always the same. Thanks for letting me rant. Hey, Travis, guess what? Welcome to Radio Biz, man. That's what we do here, is we find something we're passionate about. We get it off our chest. We talk about it. It's a circle of friends. It's a circle of trust. I think the vast majority of us here, I would hope all of us, are pulling in the same direction, that we're tired of all the talk, that we're tired of it's going to be better, and then the results aren't there. Strick and I talked a lot last offseason about the runway for Nebraska men's basketball in the non-conference. I really think Husker football has a similar runway here in football. 7 games to figure out who you are, what you're going to be, what the identity of this team is, get new guys settled, get old guys leading, whatever it is, we can never guarantee that it's going to be different. And I can sincerely say there are reasons for optimism for this team. There are plenty of reasons for optimism for this team. We've gotten into them already in the offseason. We'll keep getting into them as we're just about a week away from camp. When we wake up tomorrow, when we wake up on Wednesday, we're a week away from fall camp starting, right? And that's when the rubber really meets the road, if it hasn't already. So yes, talk is cheap. Results are absolutely what matters. Now, I'm not here to, you know, sell you a bill of goods. I'm not trying to blow smoke anywhere it doesn't belong. I legitimately believe there are reasons for optimism for this team, just as there are reasons for pessimism. Or, even if you're not pessimistic, if you're just in the boat of show me something, guess what? That's where I end up with this Husker team as well. It's one thing to be excited about all the returners on defense, including the defensive coordinator. It's one thing to be excited about some of the transfer portal ads. It's its whole own level of excitement for Dylan Raiola, which we'll get into here in just a minute. But it's also fair to ask the questions. Will the run game be better? Can the receivers get off of press coverage? Just how good will the quarterback position be? Is there another step in this defense? Was last year the fluke? Have other teams adjusted? How does Nebraska respond to four new teams in the conference and having to see two of them? There are all sorts of questions around this team. For every reason for optimism, I can give you one to question. And for every question, I can throw it back with a reason for optimism. That's why I think we're all just tired of the month of July. And we're going to get real tired of the month of August real fast until August 30th. The day before the game, guys, we're going to be there before we know it. We're a month and a week away from kickoff. And that's crazy. We'll get answers to some of our questions sooner than later. Some of those questions won't be answered this year. Some of them will never be answered. Let's just let it play out. Let's enjoy the ride. And really, honestly, truly, thank you for coming here to talk about it with us. I speak for myself. I speak for Strick, my partner. I speak for DP and Jay on the show. And I'll even speak for the morning and early afternoon guys. We appreciate you guys. Your thoughts, you're moving the conversation along. We couldn't do it without you. We would miss some aspect of the conversation without you. We truly are honored, and it means the world to us that you're here with us, that you're having these conversations, that you care as much as we do. And I hope that shows through. We hope you keep coming back here throughout the summer, throughout football season, selfishly throughout basketball season as well. 3767 asked the question, do you think coaches give a crap if they get fired? It's easy money. And then he throws out three examples. Pelini, Riley, and Frost are still chilling out with all their money. I don't think that's necessarily fair. Pelini went straight from being fired at Nebraska to coaching at Youngstown State, did that from 2015 to 2019, and then he was the defensive coordinator at LSU for a year. Did not go well, but Bo didn't just give up coaching and call it quits. And also don't say, well, if they want to fire me, they can fire me. That's not a rationale for Bo, you know, quitting. That was a dare. That was a challenge. That was confident Bo Pelini, who thought his next act after Nebraska was going to be just as good. Was it? That's up for Bo Pelini to decide. But Bo didn't just mail it in. Mike Riley was closer to the end of his career than the beginning. I mean, come on. Nice Mike, Grandpa Mike, and thoughts and prayers to him as well and in his family, some of the tough news recently. Even Mike Riley went back to Oregon State in an advisory sort of role. He was around that program and that university. No, he wasn't coaching. I mean, shoot, he coached in the UFL, the XFL, whatever, right after Nebraska as well. So Mike Riley didn't just say, nope, I'm good. I'm using Nebraska for a parachute and dip out of there. And then Scott Frost. Scott Frost is in an interesting boat, and I don't want to have the Scott Frost conversation again. It's been relitigated enough times, but I hope we're far enough out from everything that we can say that it's understandable why Scott Frost hasn't gotten back into coaching yet. I think Scott Frost is a competitor. I really do. I think Scott Frost is pretty mentally tough. I really honestly do. I can understand him not wanting to get back into coaching with a young family. wanting to be there, right? If he has this money and he wants to be there for some of the early years for his kids, I don't blame the man one bit for that. And also, it's not just how things went at Nebraska. It's not just that he got fired at Nebraska. It's that he got fired at Nebraska after everything. Think about the expectations. Think about, I'm sure, Scott Frost's natural, you know, number one, hesitancy, but number two, probably greater excitement to come back and be the head coach of this program, the one that he left once and then came back to and led to a national championship. I'm sure he had those same visions dancing in his head of, okay, I was somewhere else. I came back home. Let's get this done. Just like I did when I was a player. Hailed as the savior, as the hero, as the, you know, the light in the dark. And then it didn't work out. Some signs of promise, not a whole lot of tangible substance and success. I don't know if any of us can imagine that level of, trying to put my finger on the right word here, of projection and excitement and optimism about returning to, you know, this place for him in his emotions, his home state, his home program, all of that, the way it was being covered, the way he was being talked about and treated, and then having it go oh so wrong. I can't imagine the number that would do on him or anyone, really. So I'm not shocked he's not back into coaching. I don't think we've seen the last of Scott Frost, head coach, but I'm willing to give him a pass for not being in coaching right now. Big Bird says, isn't there a clause in their buyouts that they have to pursue other opportunities? In plenty of contracts there are. I'm sure it's not a hard, fast rule that it is, but I know it's usually a sign of good faith that you're not just going to take the money and run. So yeah, I assume that's in most contracts. I'm glad Scott Frost's name got brought up as the savior, because I think that applies to some of the conversation about Dylan Raiola. First five-star, legit five-star in a while for this program. Highest-rated recruit since, what, Marlon Lucky or Baker Steinkuhler back in the mid to late 2000s? It's a big deal that Nebraska landed a five-star. Family connections and all, right? They still got it. Do we still think Dylan Raiola is the savior, Husker fans? Do we still think that his presence, his talent, his skills are going to be enough to elevate this program back to consistent respectability? I'd love your thoughts. 402-464-5685. Because you and I watched the same spring game. Dylan Raiola looked the part. He did. Layering throws the way he did. Velocity and touch both appeared to be in command and control. You saw the arm. You saw the legs. You saw the decision making. He looked like the total package in the spring game. Obvious caveats apply that it is a spring game. But I was going back and forth with someone on Twitter. I don't even want to say going back and forth. It wasn't snippy. Wasn't an argument. I was doing bad research, throwing out bad numbers. He got me on it. But what we settled on agreeing on is Bryce McGowan's. The expectations for him might have been a little bit out of whack. So what did we learn from Bryce McGowan's that we can apply to Dylan Raiola? First of all, let's just go through Bryce McGowan's numbers. Played in 31 out of 32 games, started all of them, 33 minutes per game. That's a lot for anyone, let alone a freshman. Took 12.8 shots per game, made 40% of them. Made essentially 50% of his two-point attempts, only 27.4% from three. He was also an 83% free throw shooter, chipped in 5 rebounds, an assist and a half, and then a combined block and steal per game to go with 2 turnovers per game. Bryce McGowan's still the first and still the only one-and-done player at Nebraska as a freshman. Do we remember how excited we were to get Bryce McGowan's to Lincoln, to see him play? It wasn't even a sure thing that Bryce was going to come to Lincoln. Remember, he was committed to Florida State at one point. And then he decommitted. And then it's, oh man, hey, he has his brother here. Trey's here. Can you get him to come? And he did. And he showed up. And that was a big deal to get Bryce McGowan's, right? Because this was still early Fred Hoiberg. You had 2019-2020, you had 2020-21. So this is year three for Fred Hoiberg when Bryce McGowan's walks in the door. A pair of seven-win seasons, you have some pieces returning from the previous year. So looking at that 21-22 Nebraska team, some of the guys that carried over from the year before, obviously, Trey McGowan's was among that number. Kobe Webster was there. You had, I believe, Lat Mayen back. Yep, Lat Mayen back from the year before. And you thought, okay, that's a decent spot to start for this team. You add Alonzo Verge. You get...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Derek Walker into the fold. Derek Walker was on the roster the year before and played, but remember, he was eligible mid-season the year before, so you get a full year of Derek Walker, who showed some of these flashes. And you could see the excitement building. You get this 6'5", 6'6", lanky scoring guard. And that was, you know, one of Nebraska's issues. Not that go-to guy offensively. Defense was obviously another issue, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But let's not forget how big it was for Nebraska to land Bryce McGowan's and how he felt to some degree like a missing piece for those Fred Hoiberg teams. We still didn't know the style. this probably should have been, you know, a bigger precursor for maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. But we were talking ourselves into, yeah, this kid's going one and done. This is a, you know, if everything breaks right, this is a lottery pick. I mean, Bryce McGowan is going to be so good. I mean, he, on his own, maybe he's able to elevate everyone else on the roster, and maybe Nebraska can sneak into the top half of the Big Ten. But shoot, let's just not play on Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament. All fair, because Bryce is that dude. Bryce is a silky smooth scorer. So where'd it go wrong? Number one, I don't think the team was necessarily what it was, what was required around him. Alonzo Verge came into his own later in the year, and we write Alonzo Verge off because of how rough it started. When it was Alonzo Verge time earlier in the year, in that season, it was rough to watch. He tried to take over games, tried to do it himself. It wasn't working. It'd be your turn, my turn with Verge and Bryce. Not a whole lot of playing through Derek Walker, which Nebraska ended up, you know, unlocking later in the year. But Alonzo Verge, let's not forget, led the Big Ten in assists that year, 5.5 per game. When Alonzo Verge figured out he was the point guard and Bryce McGowan's was the shooting guard, the scoring guard, things went better for Nebraska. It took too long to figure that out. They got much closer to that ideal later in the year. Derek Walker was fine, solid, 9.5 points, 6 rebounds. CJ Wilcher transferred over, averaged 8 points per game, but Lat Mayen didn't shoot it great, only averaged 6 points per game. Keisei Tominaga, that was his first year, and didn't do that much. I mean, he averaged, 5.7, and then Trey McGowan's, right? That was part of the promise that Trey McGowan's was going to be there. But that 21-22 season, of course, he hurts his knee. He wasn't healthy for really the last half of the year. Yeah, he played in just 17 of the 32 games. Corey says, Verge was playing in the TBT yesterday. Ball hog, couldn't shake anyone. Just like you said, my turn, your turn. That's what it was at the start of the year. But there were low-key some pretty electric moments from Alonzo Verge. I know he gets a bad reputation, but to be fair to the guy, he averaged 14.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and again, led the Big Ten in assists per game. That's a solid player. You just wish they could have put it together at the start of the year, or at least a couple weeks sooner, and made a run to 500 instead of ending it at 10-22 like they did. The issues where I think Bryce McGowan's gets a bad rap because of the record. I think there are plenty of fair criticisms about Bryce McGowan's and his defense. Again, not the bulkiest guy, but you didn't see the competitive fire on defense from Bryce all the time. I think he was capable of defending more, and I think equal responsibility for that lack of fire on defense needs to be placed on Bryce McGowan's and also the coaching staff. The team that year in 21-22 allowed 78.5 points per game, bottom 20 in the country. They scored 73 per game, which was, you know, top third-ish, give or take, in the country. But you're hemorrhaging points. It was problematic. And I think Bryce McGowan's shoulders a lot of responsibility for that as the best player on that team. He wasn't always competitive defensively. And either the coaching staff let him get away with it, because they were okay with him taking as many shots as he did on offense and didn't want him to burn himself out on defense, or the staff didn't care. They were more interested in putting up points as well. But yeah, I mean, Nebraska gave up in quadruple overtime 104 to North Carolina State. You give up 102 to Michigan and 99 to Auburn in back-to-back games, 87 to Ohio State, 79 on the road at Michigan State, 93 at Rutgers. You let Rutgers score 93 points on you. That's a problem. 81 at Illinois, 92 at Purdue. You give up 85 at Michigan, 87 to Northwestern in Lincoln, 98 at Iowa, 90 to Maryland in Lincoln, 88 to Iowa after, again, you allowed 98, and that was just like a week and a half, 2 weeks before. And then you rip off a fun little winning streak. You go on the road for three straight games. You beat John Hara on his senior day in Happy Valley. You knock off number 23 Ohio State on the road on their senior night, and then the comeback on the road at Wisconsin. You win that game by 1 point, 74-73. Bryce only missed one game in that stretch, But I misremember that. I thought Bryce missed at least the last two of those, if not all three of those. And I wonder, I don't think I'm alone. I think people see that three-game winning streak like, oh, that's when Bryce went out. No, Bryce only missed the Ohio State game, I'm pretty sure. He only missed one of those three games. And Nebraska won all three of them. And then the disappointing loss to Northwestern in the conference tournament. A game that Nebraska was up at half, collapsed in the second half, if I remember that game. I don't know if the box score pulled up. Yeah, that's right. Nebraska was up 39-25 at halftime on Northwestern. The previous games against Northwestern, Nebraska lost by 12 on the road and lost by 24 at home. So to get up by 14 points, and then you just see it slowly dwindle, possession at a time, possession at a time. You're down, you're not able to get back over that hump. I think two things can be true. Bryce McGowan's shoulders too much blame for what went wrong because so much was expected of him. And at the same time, I don't know if Bryce McGowan's was maximized at Nebraska. I don't want to put that all on his shoulders, and I don't want to put that all on the coaching staff's shoulders. I don't know what went into that. Anything that was going on behind the scenes, any of those conversations, I don't know. To bring it back to the point, Nebraska hadn't experienced a one-and-done player like Bryce McGowan's, so they didn't know what to expect. And then, because of how the season went, Bryce McGowan's and the team did not live up to expectations, and so much of that gets pinned on Bryce McGowan's, both the fair and the unfair. All right, work with me here. Dylan Raiola, same thing. When's the last time Nebraska had a five-star quarterback? Exactly. Hasn't happened. Highest-rated quarterback recruit since at least Tommy Frazier, right? That's a big deal. That's been 30 years. You cannot pin everything on Dylan Raiola. I believe that Dylan Raiola has a better supporting cast relative to level than Bryce McGowan's did. I don't think Nebraska's roster is perfect. I think Nebraska's offense is going to struggle at times, and it's going to be Dylan Raiola's fault. I think Nebraska's offense is going to succeed at times, and it's going to have nothing to do, or very little to do, with Dylan Raiola. And the flip side of that is also true. I think the Nebraska offense is going to have moments where Dylan Raiola is making plays that no other quarterback on the roster can. I also think there are going to be moments where Dylan Raiola is doing everything in his power, everything he can, and the rest of the team isn't good enough. And Husker fans, I want us to take all of that context into account. It is not going to be all on the shoulders of Dylan Raiola that the Nebraska football offense improves, and it is not going to be all on the shoulders of Dylan Raiola when the offense stumbles and falters. He's going to throw interceptions. He's probably going to fumble, right? I mean, shoot, he's wearing a Nebraska jersey now. It seems like that's just what happens when you walk into this program, is you get the fumble-itis bug. Dylan Raiola is going to do something spectacular, and it's going to be fun to watch, and he's going to be the future. At least you hope. That, to me, is the other important part of this conversation. How different do we think about Bryce McGowan's if he comes back for a second year? He only stuck around the 1 year. Dylan Raiola can't go pro after 1 year. He's still got to be in college football. You hope, you pray that it's at Nebraska. But you could see the outlines of a legitimate, you know, all Big Ten first team player in Bryce McGowan's. I understand wanting that from him in year one as a freshman, but I think that was the expectation. And that was always going to be hard to live up to in that Big Ten conference with some of the players at the guard position. I get the hope that Dylan Raiola, you know, bursts onto the scene with a huge year. He's not going to be your first team All-Big Ten quarterback. Probably not going to be your second team All-Big Ten quarterback. If he's your third team All-Big Ten, shoot, if he's honorable mention All-Big Ten quarterback, that is a fantastic first year for Dylan Raiola. We never got to see year two for Bryce McGowan's, and that's too bad. That 22-23 team that would have been Bryce's second year ends up 16-16 overall, 9-11 in Big Ten play. Scored fewer points per game, scored about 4 or 5 fewer points per game, but allowed 9 or 10 fewer points per game. The defense ticked way up. And I think with a group of guys that was, you know, somewhat more committed to defense, right? I mean, Derek Walker dug in, not an elite defender, but better. Sam Griesel, you know, competed his butt off. Emmanuel Bandamel setting the tone. Juwan Gary came in. Jamarcus Lawrence played some D as a freshman. Sam Hoiberg, right? That's when he got on the floor. That was his calling card. If Bryce McGowan had been in that defensive system with that level of focus on defense and accountability, would have gone a long way. He wouldn't have had to have had the ball in his hands, you know, your turn, my turn, with Verge, because you had a really good year from Casey, who had taken it out of his hands a little bit. Sam Griesel was handling the ball. Bandamel was the backup point guard. Bryce could have focused on being a 3-and-D player, on getting buckets, right? That was my biggest issue with Bryce, is that 83% on free throws is good. It's not elite, but it tells you he should have shot better than 27% from three-point range. But here's the thing. Freshmen and first-year players struggle shooting the ball all the time. New environments, new arenas, new offensive system, new teammates. I would have loved to have seen Bryce McGowan with another offseason of work shooting from long range with a shooting coach like Fred Hoiberg. That would have gone a long way for Bryce McGowan. And I get why he made the jump. I absolutely do. I don't begrudge him for that. It's understandable. But I really think year two Bryce McGowan's would have been all Big Ten second team. And maybe that team gets over the hump, you know, gets over 500. They had a couple, they had a 2-game losing streak, had a 4-game losing streak, but they never had a long skid. So adding Bryce McGowan's to that team, maybe it delays the KSA breakout. Maybe we don't see Derek Walker become the player that he is. But a second year for Bryce McGowan's would have gone a long way. Nebraska is not guaranteed a second year with Dylan Raiola. So my hope is that Husker fans have their heads screwed on straight. They hold him to a high standard because he is the best quarterback in terms of ratings they've had since his 44-24 points out Sam Keller. But even he was a transfer. If you look at recruits, it's since Tommy. Keep your head screwed on straight. Be excited by the good. Take the bad, the lumpy, the learning moments with a grain of salt. And do everything in your power to not drive him away from this place for year two. I get it, you're fans, you don't have that much control over it. I'm media, I have probably even less control over it. But year one's going to have its ups and downs. You hope year two with Dylan Raiola in Lincoln has more ups than downs. Year three, you hope it's the best year. Because if he has a great year three and he's off as a junior, it hurt to leave a year of him on the table, but it shows you that he did his job and that this staff did its job in developing him into the quarterback he can become based on his potential. So step on the gas when you need to, step on the brakes when you need to, and most importantly, don't pin it all on Dylan. We pin too much on Bryce, fair and unfair. Let's not pin too much on Dylan Raiola. Thanks for letting me get that off your chest. You guys have a lot of thoughts on that as well. I want to get to those next when we get back here on Old School.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.